Thank you for joining us today. This is Clint Byers, lead pastor of Forward Church. I pray this message blesses and encourages you. I hope it inspires transformative grace in your heart and establishes you even deeper in your new covenant identity in Christ. Now take a deep breath, become aware of God's Spirit within you, and enjoy the message. Vision and calling. Last week, let me just do a little bit of a summary. Last week, we talked about really where the name of the church came from. And I'll just to reiterate, I already said it, but in this series, I'm going to talk about this church specifically more and what we feel like the vision is, and just myself. I don't like to talk about myself a lot. It just doesn't normally come into the messages, but part of the story very much is Sarah and I's journey. So some of that I'll leak into, but I absolutely love this. And this is where the whole idea, and we feel like the undergirding message for this body came from. And this is Moses. I went through it in detail last week, but this is Exodus 14, 13. This is after Moses had been sent to God's people, right? It wasn't about Moses. It was about God hearing the cry of his people and God wanting his people to be delivered. And that's what we are to do. We are to work with God to go set the captives free that he loves. Amen. And the best way to do that is you fall in love with them as well. And honestly, if you want to try to figure out what your calling is or the assignments that God has for your life, I ask the question, who do you love? Not, God, what am I supposed to do? We want to know that, but we don't know how to hear that answer. So I like to teach, decide and just determine in your heart, who do I love? Who do I have a passion for? What people group out there does my heart break for? And I see in this body, and I appreciate what Scott said, is that he's newly returning Christian. And I find that a lot to be the case, that we get to help people recover from, and I'm not putting words in your mouth because you didn't say one thing or the other, but a lot of people are just burned, like we read earlier, burned out on religion, tired of the rigmarole, tired of the rules and the lists. And just by the way, I said it, I gave on Easter, I kind of gave the blanket homework assignment to read the Bible. You've been reading your Bible? And I just wanted to say, you want to do that so that you start to understand how God thinks. And when you start to understand how he thinks and how he treats people, you let that take root in your heart, and then it will start to shape how you make your decisions going forward. So a lot of people read the Bible, and they're trying to memorize things, and they're trying to learn what am I supposed to do, what am I not supposed to do, and you approach it with this kind of gap and this distance. And I'll say this, if you're newly returning or newly coming to Scripture, you know, especially when you're reading the Gospels, one of the best things that you can do is just watch how Jesus treats people. You know, you don't necessarily have to try to figure out the doctrine. You're not necessarily reading it and thinking, oh gosh, now I got to go do that. I mean, I appreciate that idea, and you do want to put his words into practice, but get to know him. That's what it's about. You know, you have the stories to watch him, how he treats people. And, you know, he's hard on the religious, but he's kind and compassionate on the people who are seeking to him. He's never condemning to those that are trapped and caught in sin, but he's very hard on those who are putting religious bondage on people. It's an interesting dynamic that you see with him, right? So get to know him. If you come across something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, don't worry about it all that much, you know, because really it's a lifelong journey of sowing the word into your heart and into your mind. And it's kind of like being around somebody else. You kind of just start to pick up their mannerisms and you kind of start to share the same words and you start to like the same kind of music and you rub off on each other, you know. That's one of the greatest things that can happen is when you're engaged in Scripture is that he just rubs off on you a little bit. Does that make sense to you? So if you're reading it and it doesn't make sense or it feels overwhelming or you feel like, oh my God, listen, I'm going to discern the thoughts in your brain right now. When you read the Bible, you always feel like you're behind. Now, how did I know that? Because everybody does. You are not alone. I promise you, when you read Scripture, you feel like you're not as far along as you should be. You feel a little bit guilty because you hadn't done it. And you feel like, oh, I don't really understand this. Listen, everybody feels that way. Bob, how long have you been reading the Bible?
About 50 years.
About 50 years. You ever feel that way?
Every day.
50 years, you know? And that's not throwing him under the bus. It's just we're humans, right? We are engaging a perfect, all-powerful God in our humanity. And you just want to get to know him. But so just cut yourself some slack, but get in there, because having it in your heart and in your mind and in your thinking, it will change you. Sound good? Deal? So God appears to Moses to send him out to go save his people, because he sees his people caught in captivity. Moses told the people, and this is after they've been brought out of Egypt. They're before the Red Sea. They've got the Egyptian army coming behind them, a giant pillar of fire protecting the Israelites from the Egyptian army. There's 3 million or so of them down there, and they've got the Red Sea in front of them. If you've never seen that, go look it up on the map. We're not just talking about a little creek. We're talking about a sea, you know, and there's all kind of videos out there about it. But so they're standing there, and you see a little bit of a paradox here, because Moses is confident in who God is. He's already seen all this stuff happen, but still watch God's response. So Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the Lord." To me, it's funny, because this is the life of a pastor or minister, or you yourself with your children or whatever type, any kind of leader that's having influence over others and you're trying to encourage people to trust God. It's like, don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the Lord's salvation, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. I'm telling you, I love that. The Lord will fight for you. Amen? Say, the Lord will fight for me. The battle's won, but there's some skirmishes still going on right up here in your head, but he helps you in that. The Lord will fight. So the Lord will fight for you. You need only stand still. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" Do you see that? And I'm not saying there's a contradiction here, but there's a gap here. And I think the gap is where Moses is in his heart. He's like bold, proclaiming confidence. Yes. And then God's like, "What are you crying to me for? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Tell the Israelites to go forward." So the picture that I see in this is that we as believers and as leaders, and as you step into whatever assignments God has for you, you're going to feel that way. And you're not being a hypocrite. You're just encouraging the people. You're standing there being strong for the people. But inside, if you have some doubts too, because does this making sense to you? Because you see what he's saying. He's like, he says all this, but then God says to him, "Why are you crying to me? Tell them to go forward." And it just, to me, it's very, and it might just be a little bit unique and a little bit deeper for me in personally and how I think about it. And I think if any leader is honest, they feel the same way. It's like we stand and we boldly proclaim, and then you go back to God and it's like, "Okay, now God, now what do I do?" And he's like, "What do you mean? Just tell them to do what you just told them to do." So to me, it basically just means keep pointing you back to Jesus. When I don't feel like I have the answers, go back to Jesus. When I feel like I can't explain it to you, go back to Jesus. When I feel like I don't know how to help you get through whatever it is you're going through, oh, wait a minute, I know who does. Jesus knows who. I actually trust the Holy Spirit for you more than I trust me for you. And I actually happen to believe that you can hear God on your own. You can go to the Bible. You may not feel like you understand all of it, but you can come out of it, and you can come out of your prayer time engaging the Spirit of God, and you can be impressed. Now, you might not hear a big, booming, thundering voice, but inwardly, if you spent time with Him, if you get to know Him, the next time you're in a situation and you need to make a decision inspired by Him, if you know Him, you will more easily follow Him. Are you with me? That's what getting the Word in is about. It's about learning about who he is, how he thinks. How does he think about money? How does God think about relationships? How does God think about ministry? What does God think about depression? What does God think about when I continue in this sin and I don't understand why? And what does he think about all that stuff? I don't want to go to figure out how God condemns me or judges me. I want to go in there and I need some help. And I ask this a lot. Do you even know what Scripture says about the situation that you're dealing with? Do you even know in Scripture where that area is addressed? And I don't ask that to condemn you, because, you know, we have these great tools these days, and one of my favorites is openbible.info. You ever heard of that? I laugh because I talk about it. But openbible.info, you can go to the topical page and search any topic. And it's such a powerful tool because it's basically just a biblical topical search tool. And there's a lot of good study Bibles out there. There's other good websites out there, but that one is I just like the way it lays out. And search the area in your life where you need to see some growth and you need some help from the Lord, and just see, what does He say about it? And then read it. Not to try to understand information, but to see, do I agree with this in my heart? Do I have God's logic on this? Like, I read that God says this, like, you know, the master or the debtor is slave to the lender. And it's like God very vehemently encourages us to live debt free. But maybe you're living in a way where you're leveraging everything that you've got to amass more and more property or whatever, but you're living with all this stress. Go listen to Dave Ramsey some, but also just listen to scripture to how to handle your finances. That's just one simple little thing. Like, a soft answer turns away wrath. Are you quick to answer? Are you quick to share your mind? Are you quick to open your mouth? And but, well, this is what's right. This is what's right. I got to say it. Well, you know, that might be part of the explanation of why you're in fights all the time. Y'all laughed. I only called them out because I don't know why I called them out. I just thought it was funny, I guess. Are you with me? Not to condemn, but to get your heart in tune with how God thinks. And it takes a while. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. It's one of the linchpins of what I feel like that this ministry is to help us actually engage the Word of God to experience transformation. Amen. So that's where it comes from. And a big part of what we want to do is change the way the world sees God. And what does that mean? We want to change the way the world sees God in light of what He's accomplished in Christ. So this passage here is just so powerful. Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. You ever felt that way? Especially in church or within Christianity, you just feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm being sold some snake oil here or something like that. I kind of feel like there's a lot of philosophy and there's a lot of talk and it's not really helping me. And I'm not trying to attack or condemn, because I'm sure people listen to, I actually got a Facebook message yesterday on one of our shorts, and it said, why do you keep saying the same thing over and over but not really saying anything? I love those too. I love these because it's like, ooh, all right. And then those come in, I'm like, oh yeah. It's just funny to me. I love reading those. But beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. Man, I'm telling you what. That's a whole sermon and a half and probably five sermons. But according to the basic principles of the world. Now, I've got a message where I go into what that means, the basic principles of the world. But it's kind of this animist, paganistic idea. And if you read the rest of Colossians 2, you see where he's talked about being set free from the rudiments of the world. And it's talking about things like astrology and reading signs and a lot of the mystical Gnosticism that crept into the church is what he's talking about. And, you know, I don't have time to go into a lot of that, but that's what he's talking about, the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This right here. If I could do one thing as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, is to help you believe this and then live from the truth of this. It's so important. Because for in Him, who are we talking about? Jesus. And remember, Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him, for Him, and through Him. The Word is in your mouth. The Word is in you. Jesus is the Word. It's like this idea that Jesus, the essence of who He is, to be planted in your heart, to shape you to be just like Him. That's the journey that we're on. It's already true spiritually, but we're on that journey in this earth. But it's easy and light because His grace is alive and active on the inside of us. But so when you're seeking to overcome temptation, when you're seeking to overcome the broken kinds of relationships that you find yourself in over and over and over, the disappointments of life, whatever happens, whatever burden it is that we are under and experiencing, you got to know this. You got to go back to this, that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Say complete. Say, I'm complete in Him, who's the head of all principality and power, which means He's in charge. He's got all power. He's got all authority, and He's in you. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Him, and He is in you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? And then you live from that. And you live from the power of this, because John and I were talking, you were over there last week, but was mentioning just the simplicity of Christ and holding Him sacred on the inside of you. That's the source of power. It's like you've got this power in you that can change everything about you. It already has spiritually, but you want to live from that. That, again, these are things we talk about all the time, but in this Vision and Calling series, I just want to reaffirm that is what we are seeking to do, and that is what we will continue to do. And let's see, for the sake of time, I'm going to have to shift gears here because I know I talked about going into the prophetic history of the church. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Prophetic history of the church. How many of you are like, meh? How many of you are interested in the prophetic history of the church? Okay. Next week. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, just so you know. But let me just, for the interest of time, let me just keep moving, because I will say, if you're new or if you've even been here for a while, one of the things that we want to do is point you to the journey. The journey is our discipleship path. It's a 12-step program. I actually see it taking about a year. Some people jump in and, man, they go for it. There's a couple of books to read. There's some courses. I'm actually building out some more of it. But if you're ever wondering what is it that this church offers in terms of discipleship or extra knowledge or information or study, you know, we're stepping up the Sunday school classes, which I'm thankful for these men and women that are stepping up to teach these courses. We will always teach you who you are in Christ in these, and I will always make the teachings biblically based. And if you want to go a little step further, plug into the journey. Take those steps. It's Welcome to the Family, which kind of orients you to who we are. I don't think I had any gray in my beard when we shot that, so I might need to reshoot some of that. But, and then one of the key things is it walks you through our core values, which, and they're on the wall out there if you've ever seen them. But it's God is good, Jesus is enough, believers are new creations, grace is transformative power, trust God, love people. God is active. That's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts. Church is encouraging. How many of you feel encouraged when you come here? I hope so. That's a core value that I want to experience, right? You might get your toes stepped on, but I also want you to be encouraged thinking, man, I'm more than I thought that I was. I want you to feel better when you leave than you did when you came. Not because I'm trying to shove cotton candy in your ears and whatever. That metaphor makes sense? Okay. All the sweet, ooey-gooey, ear-tickling, you know what I mean? Now, some of you are thinking, oh, now I'm going to go clean my ears. You are too literal, and you're visualizing stickiness in your ear. But because God is good, it's His mercy that endures forever. Amen? Get your own vision, and I mean that. I do not want you to come here and catch my vision. I'm not asking you to serve my vision. Sarah and I do have a very clear and specific vision, and we are committed to it, and we will serve the Lord in that framework and move forward in that until we're done. And done meaning not in these bodies anymore. I don't even know what retirement would be, you know, because we love this, and this is what we will do. We are committed to it. And if that means staying in this building, it does, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think God's moving on people's hearts. What? You got couples here, people writing in, people emailing in. And keep moving forward. And let me just make this point today. Sorry, I'm just reshifting in my mind, but I'm also thinking there's fried chicken over there waiting. I don't know how good it smells. And y'all want to go eat. Keep moving forward. Say, keep moving forward. And I go back to the idea. So I go back to the idea of Moses, right? And when God came to Moses, and this is for you. So I want you to hear with ears for yourself, because I know that you're all trying to hear God for what the assignments He has for your life. You all want to know what your calling is. And many of you are living it out, and you don't even really know that you're living it out. Some of you maybe feel like you're not called, and you just want to go to church and work your job. That's fine too, but He does have assignments for you. And I'll say this, the more you know Him and the more that you just are in unison with His love for you and your love for people, you will fulfill the assignments that God has for you toward other people. And you may never even know it, but there will be reward in heaven for that. And it's going to be pretty amazing. We don't do it for that, but God promises that that will be part of the judgment seat of Christ for the believers, is not to have our sin judged, but to have our works judged. And there's a difference. Your sin was judged in Christ. Your sin was punished in Christ. Your sin was paid for in Christ. But your works will be judged, and your words will be judged, and they will be passed to the fire. And there's reward for that. And I want you to live with a sense of passion and purpose and meaning on mission. And not that you woke up and you saw a burning bush and every single step is directed by this specific thing, but in general, you feel like you have a life strategy with the Lord toward this idea. Does that make sense to you? And you hear, let me just, listen, if you don't hear anything, hear this. Say, I will hear this. You hear God better than you think that you do. You hear God better than you think that you do. You hear Him all the time. And you hear Him probably more accidentally than you do on purpose. And I say that jokingly, but I think I kind of mean that too, you know? I really do. We are more in tune and connected with God than we really realize that we are. We are betrothed to God. Well, I don't really feel like I know. I'm not even sure if I really believe. Well, listen, the fact that you're open and you're willing, He absolutely adores you and loves you and wants to be part of your life. And if you mess up, He's not seeking to throw you away. And if you've had a bad example, don't look at them as the example. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the example of who God is. Not what you got to live up to, but what humanity can be and how God treats people through Jesus. Are you with me? So let me just say this passage here. And I love this. And it's funny because depending on how legalistic you are, will determine how you hear this passage. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So some people will hear direct contradiction. Well, man just tries to figure out what he wants to do, but God does this. And it's like a total direct opposite dichotomy between the two. I don't read that way. Now, I think maybe under the old covenant, before we got our new hearts, maybe the line was being drawn in terms of you want this, but God wants this. But think about this from this perspective. If you get a new heart did you get a new heart?
Yes.
If you've said yes to Jesus, God has given you a new heart. A heart being that place between soul and spirit, that place where you live from, that place where your beliefs are. You know, it's partly spirit, partly soulish. It's hard to dissect what all that is, but the heart is the core of who you are. It determines what kind of being that you are, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. God removed the body of the sins of flesh. He removed the spiritual sarks out of you. You were dead in sin, and now you are alive in Christ because you got a new heart. And then when you get the reason you got a new heart is because God cleansed you and sanctified you with the sacrificial blood of Christ, which made you a holy vessel, not holy through behavior. Holiness means peculiar and set apart for the Master's use. If it's been cleaned the right way, now it's ready to be used by God. God made you ready by cleansing you with the blood of Christ. You put your faith in that, and because of that, He removed that root of sin out of you, and He put a new heart in you, and He betrothed Himself to you and joined Himself to you in His Spirit, and now He lives in you. do we even have a clue what that means? God lives in you. We just take that for granted. So that's sacred space right there. That is, let me remove my shoes. That is, I don't want to dishonor you, Lord. I don't want to continue in sin and dishonor that work that you've done on the inside of me. I don't want to look at people and give up on them because I don't like what they said. I'm commanded to love them because God is in me. God is in me to love people and to not sit back and hold that compassion that's welling up on the inside of me. You know, we let all the stuff that we deal with in our head and in our situations define how we're going to treat people. But God's on the inside. How do you think God wants to treat that person? And if we can live out of that, man, that's a very humbling experience because you got to get yourself out of the way. You got to deal with your stuff. You got to get over it. Because you might be limiting God from working through you in that person's behalf. Now, that doesn't mean you become a doormat. That doesn't mean you make excuse for their wrongdoings. It doesn't mean that it's not love is love and whatever they do is fine. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about creating a codependency or you being, you understand what I'm saying? Biblical love. That's who we are. You know, every time you engage the Lord, that's what we should walk away with. And when we're living in this earth, we're recognizing and remembering, man, I'm carrying the presence of God on the inside of me. It's up to me to administer the Spirit of God in the world around me. And how can I do that? And that doesn't mean you got to quit your job, be a nomad, and just roam the earth, right? With your Shogun sword. Anybody remember that movie? Or TV show? You know what I'm saying? There's one thing I know, and I am not a missionary. I'm a homeboy. I am planted in a local church, and I love it, but I thank God for me. I don't understand missionaries. It's like, you want to take your whole family and go do that? What's wrong with you? And then I remember, oh, wait a minute. No, that's God. That's what God looks like for them. Right. And that's incredible. And so that makes me like, oh, man, let me support that. I want that for all of us. I want all of us to naturally live out of our relationship with the Lord, and it just so happens to also be you fulfilling the assignments that God has for you. The more you know who you are in Him and what He did for you, the more you will effortlessly follow Him. And then I think this is a promise. You've got a desire in your heart. God will show you the steps. That's how I read this. I'm going to plan my way, and the Lord's going to show me how to get there. Because you're not going to stick to the calling if it's not something that's come out of your own heart. None of you are going to say, okay, Lord, I don't want to do that, and then spend the rest of your life doing it. There's a version of Christianity that will teach that. Don't say that you don't want to do this because that's what God's going to call you to do. I mean, I'm making a couple of generalizations, but the point that I'm making is we can live in such harmony with the heart of God that His desire is our desire. That what you know and what you want to live in and what you are called, what you feel like you have a passion for, you don't have to question and wonder, I wonder if this is from God. I wonder if this is from God to walk up and pay for this woman's groceries who's dragging these kids around and it seems like, her shoes are old. I wonder if God wants me to do that for her. I wonder if God wants me to go tell that person about Jesus. I'm feeling like this number that God wants me to give. Ooh, I don't know, is that God? I feel like maybe I shouldn't watch that. I wonder. Let me just tell you, God sounds a lot like you. And the more confident you are in Him, the less you'll question when He inspires you. Now, I'm not trying to say that every thought and desire you have is from God. That would be foolish. But in terms of stepping out into these assignments and following Him, you hear God better than you think that you do. And it reminds me of God coming to Moses, and Moses said, well, who am I? What am I supposed to do? Moses, and God says to Moses, well, what's in your hands? Yeah. And he says, well, I've got this stick. And I kind of move the sheep around with it. It's a stick, God. And he's like, okay, well, then use that. What's your stick? What's in your hands? What is it? And I'm not talking about your calling is defined by your talent, right? Your calling may not necessarily be defined by what you're good at. What I hear is you already have what you need because you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and you've got a new heart that can desire what God desires. Your work is to renew your mind and who you are in Him, and then step into those passions that rise up. And man, I'm telling you, the church is paralyzed because we're wondering if we're doing it the right way. Is that what I'm supposed to do? And we're worried that, you know, we might make a mistake. You're going to make mistakes. Have you figured that out yet? But again, overall in this series, we are talking about the vision of the church, but also too at the same time, your life's vision and your ministry and your mission and the assignments that God has for you. And some of you, that's clearly outlined for you and you are taking the steps. So let me ask you this. Where do you want to be in 5 years? And this is an excellent journaling exercise. And you can break this down in terms of relationally, where do I want to be? Financially, where do I want to be? Ministry, where do I want to be? Education, where do I want to be? And just, it doesn't have to be that deep. I want to be here. I want to be out of debt. I want to be married. I want to be given 50% of my income. I want to be serving in the middle of whatever it might be, you know, and it might be small and it might be big, but do this exercise. Ask yourself, where do I want to be in 5 years? And once you see it, and this is vision, then look down and you see it forward. You look down and you say, okay, what step do I need to take to get there? And then that defines the direction in your life. And along the way, you submit to the Lord. And if the vision needs to change, then the vision changes. But at least you're moving. And if the step needs to change, then you step this way and you take a different step. But if you don't see where you're going, we all know driving, right? You drive in your car. What's going to happen if you look at your hands on the steering wheel? What's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt yourself. But if you see where you're going, do you even pay attention to your hands? You ever driven and then you don't remember driving home? I'm not talking about drunk, being drunk. Just to clarify. Bad joke. But it makes a powerful point because we're so used to driving, we're so used to the path, we're so used to making those turns, you don't even think about it. Walking out your assignments with God can be the exact same thing. You are so resolute on where you're going and you see it. And the steps here are not even that big of a deal. It's like, okay, I want to be serving in this capacity. Well, then I need to get the training. So let me go through this school. There's 18 months. That's my next step. That's a big one. Let's see, I want to be here financially. This job isn't doing it. Let me see what I can do. And you might have to move, do some maneuvering and get there. I want to be doing this. You know, what's the next step that you need to take once you have the vision? Now, again, I'm not just saying you make stuff up out of your own heart and decide, well, this is what I want. You know, this is carefully done in prayer, and you're not asking God to give you a vision. You are dreaming with God. You are in intimate relationship, communing with Him, and then out of that comes this passion. I really would like this. Some of you, it's making music. And what does it take? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, and what are the steps that you need to take to get there? Whatever it might be, you know, I'm not talking about just a religious perspective, right? And you're committed to glorifying God along the way. I talk about, in Who Do You Love, my book, I talk about it a lot. If you don't have one, I'll give it to you. You can give a donation if you want. And I'm not just trying to sell a book, but I talk about it in detail. And it's helped a lot of people. But I'm just convinced of this. You hear God. And I don't want you just coming to church. I want you living on mission. I want you living with a purpose, with a vision, knowing that the steps that you are taking are actually leading you into the fulfillment of the assignments that God has for you in your life. Are you with me? Do you want to do that? But it's easy and light. It really is easy and light. I think back to me and Sarah. Neither one of us were raised in church. I got pretty radically saved from a weird perspective and all this demonic stuff, and then found God in the midst of it. And she came out of some wild stuff. And it was like we started going to church together. We didn't know what we were doing, making mistakes along the way. I'm watching the pastor that we were at his church, and I just knew, like, one night, I can see the image in my mind of when I was watching him. I was looking this direction right here, and he's up there. I can't really remember what he had on, but I remember the room. And just in that moment, I remember knowing that's what you're going to do with your life. And I was in college. I was studying environmental health science at the University of Georgia. And I wasn't liking it. And I was in biology, and I was really coming into the knowledge of the Lord. And I'm watching this professor, the head of the biology department, and it's like he was infatuated with Darwin. And it's like they're very technical when they're talking about cellular mitosis, but then he's got all these Galapagos trip images, and it's like a religion. And all science went out the window, and it's all emotion. And I just remember these things, right? I'm watching him, and I'm like, this is weird. Because, you know, we're like studying these very technical concepts and we're moving through them quickly. But then we get to his infatuation with Darwin, and he turns into like a giddy little schoolgirl. And I'm like, looking. But so then sitting there in the church that night, and I just knew that's what you're going to do. Every decision from then forward was that's the vision. I didn't even know that I was supposed to hear from God, that I was supposed to have a calling, that I was supposed to have a sign. I didn't know any of that stuff. All I knew was people are going to hell. Jesus helped me. I want them to know it makes sense to do that right there. And then every step along the way was toward that end. And we just kept taking steps. We went to school. We moved back. We started up our business. We started a home church. We did all these things. And we never wondered, well, God, when's it going to happen? We didn't know any better. We just had that vision and just kept moving. And it was easy and light. But it wasn't every single step we needed. We were broke. I mean, broke. But it worked out. Found Dave Ramsey, got out of debt, all these different, you know, all these things along the way. A lot of things changed along the way to get us to where we are now. And there's still growth. And I'm telling you, I want that for you. And a lot of you are experiencing that. But wherever you are in life right now, you can get a vision. And you can dream with the Lord, and it's for kingdom purposes, and you can start taking steps in that direction, and He will show you the way. He will show you the steps. But you've got to trust, and you've got to take the step. Let me ask you this. It's very technical, very profound. What step do you need to take next? The next step. And I promise you, you already know what the next step is. I see the wheels turning. I know everybody's quiet and you're thinking about it. And I hope it's not heavy and oppressive. I hope you're encouraged. But I also hope you're provoked. You already know the next step, don't you? You might be undermining that step. You might be thinking, well, that step doesn't really, but they build. They build on one another. So you take that step, and the next thing you know, you get a different perspective, and it's like, oh, okay, now I see that. And then you take it, you get around the corner, and it's like, oh, that opens up a whole new, you know, it might be 5 steps from now until certain things make sense, but you won't see that until you take the first step. So what's the first step? You know, I don't know how many steps we are down the road, but we're sitting here trying to raise $5 million to build a building that's beyond our thinking in terms of budgeting with this body. But now, you know, I would have never thought there's people all over the planet that God's going to send to help financially carry out this vision that I've given for this church. So it's a big deal. I don't take it lightly because it ain't me. By the way, it's Clint, by the way. I appreciate Pastor. That's, you know, respect, but you can call me Clint. I'm just telling you, there's no substitute for living on mission. There's no substitute for having a vision of the future and knowing that you are taking steps toward that. And like, I have no idea how we're going to pay for this, but now it's starting to kind of come out. It's starting to kind of make sense. Unless some of y'all are sitting on a couple million dollars and y'all can write the check, which might be, you could do that, I don't know. God's bringing other people in along to come alongside of us. And isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, we're just watching it happen. No, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't want to limit that. You know, then you get so far into it and you're like, okay, well, I just want to keep going with you. I don't want to stop. I better grow so I don't limit you. I better deal with my stuff so I'm not the one stopping what you're trying to do. I better deal with this because I see where this thinking might be hindering where you're trying to lead. And if I'm not there, you understand? So then the correction and the fine tuning and the growth becomes, I'm hindering this vision more so than I got to make God happy. Let's grow. So we quit limiting him. Are you with me? So what is your next step? You already know it. I promise you already know it. You're minimizing it because you don't think it's that big of a deal, but you already know it, so take it. Some of you know your next five steps. You can go ahead and take them, but just take the one step and then be committed. And I see it as grace. You step and then there's plenty more grace there. And then you take the next step and then there's plenty more grace there. But the grace is there. It's an invitation to step into it, but it doesn't actuate until you step into it. And I'm not trying to create some mystical law. I'm just saying I've been there and I know what it's like. You can sit here and theorize and hypothesize and create vision and dream and all this and then sit back and go, well, God, when's it going to happen? Well, if you'd have taken that step, you'd be a little bit closer to where I'm trying to get you for the next step. Take the step. And you already know the step. Honestly, raise your hand if you do feel like I already know my next step. Raise your hand. Y'all are lying, because I know all of you do. In fact, the next equip, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to do some actual one-on-one dialoguing, and I will use some case study. That's not the right way to say it, but we'll interact in such a way where you'll watch it happen in front of your eyes, and people will walk out of here knowing what your next step is. Not because I'm going to tell you, but because you're going to realize, oh, yeah, I already knew that. Because God will show you the steps. And the next step is over to the fried chicken. And Taylor's not here with her desserts and sweets. Taylor and Blake, they were part of the body. They moved to Alabama, and she got a sweet shop down there. So anyway, I'm sure somebody brought some good desserts. I always can tell when I'm done preaching, because it's like then I start saying things that don't make any sense. So, y'all good? Yes. Are you encouraged? Yes. Do you want to take the step? Yes. Are you going to commit to actually getting alone with God and figuring out what it is, and then take the step? Say, I will take the step. Let's just stand up if you would. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for everything that is happening through this body, and we give you all the glory. It's all of us collectively. It's not any one person. It's not any one family. It's this whole body coming together. And the more this body steps into its own calling individually, the more collectively we will fulfill the vision you've given us, Lord. So I thank you that you're raising people up. You're encouraging them. You're strengthening them. You're calling them out. You're showing them dreams or visions or whatever it might be that they need to hear to step out. But really, deep within their heart, they already know, and I thank you that you're giving them the confidence that they do hear you. The confidence that they do hear you, and that we do hear you, and we can take one step, and the next step, and the next step, in whatever area it might be, and you're right there with us, showing us, leading the way. Amen, and amen, and amen.